Good afternoon. I'd like to open the Senate Committee on Education and Workforce Development. We're going to open up with a public hearing on Senate Bill 9. This is proposed by Senator Peter Courtney. He's coming in a few minutes. So why don't we start with some people who are here. Bridget Burns, Doug Severs, and we'll start with those two. While they come up, can you give us a summary?
Certainly. Senate Bill 9 requires public universities and community colleges to provide financial aid to students with unmet financial need under the federal aid formula when the university or community college raises tuition more than a certain percent over the tuition charged for the previous academic year.
Okay. Bridget?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. For the record, my name is Bridget Burns. I am the Chief of Staff of the Oregon University System. Today, we're going to be talking to you about Senate Bill 9, which, as it's currently written, we would have some questions moving forward about it and how it would play out on our campuses. But I do want to speak to the spirit of this bill, which I think is very much in alignment with what you'll see on the ground happening at the Oregon University System. We are deeply committed to meeting the need of our students and focusing on the lowest income populations. And I think you can look to some examples that I'll highlight for you. For instance, right now, in this last year alone, we used $56 million of our own money and used the resources garnered through our generous donors and some tuition to be able to meet financial need for our students on our campuses. And as I'll note, that's much more than the Oregon Opportunity Grant. We take this responsibility very seriously to ensure that our students can attain a quality education and not leave with a tremendous amount of debt. Further, every time the Oregon Opportunity Grant faced a shortfall in this last biennium, of our own volition, our presidents and the chancellor came forward and we paid $4.5 million to make sure that our students were not affected by that. And I think that demonstrates that shared commitment for low-income populations. I also want to touch on that this idea in a general concept is very supported in the board's governance proposal that will be before you in Senate Bill 242. Because in that proposal, they talked about a performance compact where instead of being funded the way that we are right now or being focused on just enrollment, we want to be focused on outcomes. And one of them was need and meeting the needs of our students. And the Board of Higher Education and our presidents came to a conclusion that a number that would be a stretch but is financially attainable for our institutions would be meeting 12% of unmet need for our students. And while 12% might seem like a substantial difference from 100%, 100% is financially not necessarily viable for our campuses. However, in the spirit of the bill, we think it very much is in line with the work that we're already having, that we're already doing, and the conversations that we're having amongst ourselves. Just to further elaborate what unmet need is, unmet need is the need that exists after we've already taken a stab at meeting their need. We've already given them scholarships. We've already given them grants. And we've used every resource we possibly can. And there's usually just a small amount that is left over that is unmet need. One other thing I would highlight in this bill, there's no difference between in-state and out-of-state students, which might be a concern, because obviously out-of-state students would have substantial need potentially, and that might be difficult for us to do. But I do want to just say that we really appreciate that Senator Courtney is raising the issue of need, that it's very much in the spirit of this legislation is very much in line with what you'll see on the ground right now, and that the university system is deeply committed to meeting the needs of its most vulnerable populations. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Bridget, you're intimately familiar with 242.
Mm-hmm.
Would this be something that you're making the case that this could work with the performance contract, the compact in 242?
I would say that it's already being addressed in 242 in that the performance compact portion, we are already coming forward and holding ourselves accountable for meeting for 12% of unmet need, which we think is something that our institutions could financially attain, using all their resources. So it's less of a broad brushstroke and more on an individual level. We think this is more sustainable, but I would say the conversation is already ongoing and that the spirit is very much in line with what's taking place in the performance compact.
thank you, committee chair and committee members. I really appreciate being able to kind of talk about something very dear to my heart is trying to meet students' financial needs, something we work on every day and try to work with very venues of different resources to help our Oregon students. I just have a couple slides today to talk about the determination of financial need and you know, one of the big focuses, cost of attendance is a big factor, tuition, books, and supplies. When you look at tuition, we're looking probably about a third of the cost of a student is made up in tuition. The rest, books, supplies, and living expenses. And if you look in that area, living expenses are sometimes the larger of the components that you're looking at. Then we look at the estimated family contribution derived from the FAFSA form, as mentioned in the bill. And that's the need level of our students as determined for all Oregon students in regard to the federal and state financial aid. And then we offer a financial aid package, federal grants, Pell, work, loans, institutional aid. One thing we didn't note in this slide is we also take into consideration the scholarships the students would receive locally, like from Kiwanis or from the community. And that's then where we get our level of unmet need that we have for our students. And the base tuition, this is for the 9-10 years at $6,700. Now, one thing when we looked and asked the question, what was our unmet need, we went back to 9-10, and if you look at year one, then we're looking at an unmet need is in around the $47 million range for our students after 9-10. And these are our resident students in regard to. If you added non-residents to that, it'd be another $14 million. The only resource we could think of to try to meet this unmet need, because most of our financial aid is tied or is being received by people or by students with need, would be from tuition. And we'd actually have to increase tuition and turn it back in to try to meet this unmet need in this bill. So we estimated that we'd have to increase tuition, if you looked at year two, tuition increase and cover some of unmet need. We'd have to increase tuition by $3,000, and which would reflect about a 45% increase over our base tuition. And then as you increase tuition, you increase need. So it's kind of a circular item. You never meet that because you're increasing the element that you're trying to come back and fund. It's just that at OSU and U of O and community colleges, you're just seeing a high level of need out there these days. Now, some of this financial need is being met by parents who are borrowing either through the parent plus loans or home equity loans. Some of this need is being met by students who are rooming three or four or five, you know, trying to cut their cost of living. So there's different elements that students are scrambling to meet this, and parents are scrambling to meet this unmet need. But it's out there, and that's something we work with every day in regard to in the financial aid profession. So I highly recommend looking at this situation. We love the Oregon Opportunity Grant. We feel that is such a good resource. We tie into it for our Bridge to Success so we can meet almost 3,000 students tuition who are Pell eligible and Oregon Opportunity Grant eligible. So anything along those lines would be greatly appreciated too. So I'll take any questions.
Questions or comments? Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Emma Calloway from the Oregon Student Association.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. Hello, Chair Hass and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Emma Calloway. I'm the Legislative Director for the Oregon Student Association, and we're here to weigh in on Senate Bill 9. We don't have an official stance on it yet, but I'd like to bring forward some support and also questions that we have. We believe that this bill is a good place to start. As of this weekend, students voted to support Senate Bill 242, pending two OARs that OUS is finalizing and an amendment we are working on with Senator Haas. So we're very excited about that. We're excited to be moving forward towards positive change in higher education system in this state. And as 242 is a governance bill, what we see that's missing from this plan is a plan for increased revenue, which isn't really a possibility right now, or an alternative plan for managing costs.
That seems to be missing from a lot of the bills.
Right, right. We thought we'd just bring it up. We've seen that systems like Texas, California, and Washington, when they've gained further separation from the state, although this is not always the case, we've seen large tuition increases in those cases. And that's especially true during challenging economic times. We support Senate Bill 9 and it's an intent to provide financial aid when tuition raises above a certain amount. The only concern we have about this bill is that this could lead us down a road of high tuition, high aid. OSA has seen public and private schools use a high tuition, high aid model, and sticker shock and the increasing gap between tuition and aid prices are a problem for students. We would like to avoid this at all costs. OSA believes in the commitment of our boards of education and OUS. They have a commitment to maintaining a quality higher education system. But the conversation of high tuition is a nationwide debate that is just beginning. The jury is still out on whether there should be a sliding scale for tuition prices based on family income instead of basic cost of attendance for that community college or university. That being said, we will continue to reflect on the fact that when the legislature has participated in the process of keeping tuition increases manageable, we have kept tuition lower lower than our neighbors in California and in Washington. If Senate Bill 9 included some sort of backstop to prevent our systems from moving blindly into a high tuition, high aid system, then OSA would be very supportive of a bill like this. We appreciate this committee and Senate President Courtney's office for considering affordability and access when making changes to the higher education system. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to a continued discussion of Senate Bill 9.
Thank you. Questions or comments? No, thank you.
Dana Richardson.
From Senator Courtney's office.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of committee. For the record, my name is Dana Richardson. I'm the legislative director for Senate President Peter Courtney, and I staffed the summer work group on higher education issues. And my boss is on his way. So I'm not quite sure what else to say. Since
well, maybe you could comment on this dovetailing into the performance agreement language of 242.
I didn't quite hear Ms. Burns' comment earlier, but I do think that this mechanism could be folded into the performance compact process and or Senate Bill 242. In fact, at one point we kind of thought about and talked about should this just be in Senate Bill 242, and it could have been, but it was an opportunity for Senator Courtney, and in his testimony he'll talk about the reason why that wasn't done.
Okay. Used to be here at 1:20.
That's what I'm told. Do you maybe want to stand at ease for just a sec?
We'll stand at the committee. Will stand at ease for a moment.
Senator Haas, this is the best testimony Senator Courtney has ever given.
Yes.
We have Senator Courtney's written testimony, and so I'm going to close the hearing on Senate Bill 9 and open up a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 244. You give us a brief summary, Linda, and then I can expand on it.
Yes. Senate Bill 244 requires the State Board of Education to encourage increased learning times that encompasses longer school day, week, or year.
And to the committee, some of you know that we passed the year-round education bill in 2009. This is an addendum to that. Phil Donovan is here from Chalkboard, who can fill us in on some of the details.
Thank you, Chair Haas, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Phil Donovan, here on behalf of the Chalkboard Project. Thank you for the introduction of Senate Bill 244. Just want to give you a little bit of background. During the legislative interim, we convened several conversations, including with Senator Haas, about extended learning opportunities. The first meeting that we had was about understanding a few projects that were already underway. For example, here in Salem-Keizer School District, they're working with a local business owner who has provided funding to extend learning time to demonstrate, particularly at the younger grades, what the benefits are in terms of increased student achievement. Secondly, the I Have a Dream Foundation is working to support extended learning opportunities in the Reynolds School District. And so we were kind of gathering a little bit of information about what kind of pilot projects are already underway. We then had a second opportunity to come together to work with Jennifer Davis, who's with the National Center on Time and Learning, which is a think tank based in Boston. And she talked about some of the opportunities that she saw. I'm looking over my shoulder to... Oh, I thought Senator Courtney might have come in the room. Anyways, she indicated some of the federal funding opportunities that exist out there. And in particular, there's a $100 million increase in the 21st Century Community Learning Centers that's a part of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, ESEA, also reauthorization of No Child Left Behind. And some of the specifics about that particular program is that they want to support before and after school programs, summer enrichment programs, summer school programs, expanded learning time opportunities, and full-service community schools. The point being, I think, is that this is a bit broader than the legislation that was passed in 2009. And so in response to that information, we worked with Bonnie Hunt in Senator Haas's office to introduce legislation that we believe might help Oregon become more competitive if those federal funds are approved. And essentially what you see, the content of Senate Bill 244, is that it puts into Oregon statute the federal definition for increased learning time. And you know, the hope is that this is a little broader than the supplemental summer instruction definition that's already in statute. So that was kind of the basis, the idea around the introduction. We also, just for the record, worked with Salam Noor, who's a deputy superintendent at Salem-Keizer School District, just to make sure that this legislation didn't have any unintended consequences. And we believe that the legislation that's before you is pretty straightforward, has a small opportunity at helping push the ball down the road on extended learning opportunities. So. And then in summary, we also, and I believe this has been provided to you, but the Chalkboard Project in 2008 had commissioned a study of extended learning time. You know, we had quite a conversation with you all about Senate Bill 252 and how we can make our educators as effective as possible. If we weren't really on all over that issue, we'd probably be spending a lot more time on this, because this kind of comes in what I would term a close second. But having said that, the Eco Northwest report was commissioned in 2008. It was updated this past December of 2010. And if you ask me anything more than what's found inside this report, I'll be in trouble.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a comment that, thank you, Phil, for your testimony, that I served on over the past 18 months or so on the Supporting Student Success Team, which was organized through a grant, a federal grant and NCSL grant, looking at and examining extended learning opportunities. And there was a report that was given to the interim committee, I believe it was in December. And there are two bills, and I'm sorry I don't have the numbers in front of me, that have been assigned to this committee that came out of that work. One is to continue the work. There was a lot of effort put into sort of mapping where all the extended learning opportunities are around the state, including looking at the various funding sources. And the other one deals with extending after-school programs so that the schools can get the federal meal program. There's a federal meal program that provides low-income students with an additional meal in the day, and that can be done through after-school programs. So those two bills have been assigned to this committee, and I believe there's an email pending on getting those scheduled, but I think they're very compatible with the work that you've talked about, Phil, with the 21st Century Grant projects, and to do something to make our state eligible or increase the likelihood that we'll get that additional funding, I think is very important in light of the benefits of the extended learning opportunities that all the research shows for students. It includes before and after and summer school programs. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That wasn't a question.
Okay. No, I'm on board with everything you're saying. And I think it was smart to match the federal language. Our office has been working with Senator Merkley's office on that language, right, and the federal government's money. And I think the bill that we passed in 2009 on extended learning, supplemental summer, in an effort to get some foundation money and pilot project money, has a sunset of next 2012. What bill was it? Was that 444?
It's in my file, sir, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
Anyway, so this basically just reauthorizes that effort with some language designed to put Oregon in one of the first or second slots to get that to be eligible for the federal money. Senator Merkley is on the Education Committee and Senate.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that causes a little bit of conflict within me. There's no way you can argue with the language of this bill, but it seems rather hollow when we think about the funding levels that we're currently providing. And I guess, you know, maybe the assumption is that there are things we should be doing differently today, even with the funding structure, to provide more classroom instruction. If this bill helps us move in that direction, then I think it's a very healthy thing. But in some ways, it's a very hollow bill.
If I might, Chair Haas, Senator Morris, there's no denying that. There's been, you know, the strategy conversation was a recognition that there wasn't a lot of state resources available for this kind of activity at this time. But there is no denying that the increased student contact time that comes with extended learning opportunities does appear in the research to demonstrate that it makes a difference in their achievement. And so at this point in time, it was how could we make Oregon most attractive for some federal funds while not having any unintended consequences and limiting any school district's abilities to do what they want to do. And this is kind of where we arrived at.
And Senator Morris, I do, you know, the old saying that the flutter of a butterfly might ultimately cause a tsunami on the other side of the planet. I know that because of that bill we passed in the last session, getting to know some of the foundation people are interested in this, and there is some money out there, and now there's some federal money, and you never know where these things will lead. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. And thank you to the committee.
Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on 244 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 244.
Mr. Chair, I understand that we do have revenue fiscal impacts, and there are none.
Minimal.
Yes.
And it's available to move to the floor. So that being the case, I move Senate Bill 244 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 244 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none. Any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 244 will move to the floor with a do-pass motion, and I'll carry it. We have business to tend to on the Senate floor, I think most of us. So I do want to say that this first few weeks of the session for this committee has felt like the Oregon Ducks no-huddle offense, and appreciate your patience. So we will take a easy day today. We're adjourned.